Hey y'all, welcome to the Lavender Menace podcast. My name is Sunny and I am sick today. It's not COVID, I just took a test. I'm just like congested and I think it's probably like a sinus infection or something, but that's why I sound like this. Anyways.
Hello. It's been so long.
Right.
Hello, my name is Renaissance. I'm the other co-host of the podcast. I'm not sick, but I did smoke a Chinese menthol cigarette that tasted like plum last night, and I finally found someone who does vape and let me take a couple hits of their vape.
Finally.
And I was very happy.
Wow, that's profound and it moving. Is. Because do we it recall is. At the beginning of the podcast when I'd be hitting my vape and Russell would be like, ugh.
and have you ever seen me do it on camera? No. Right, exactly. So I stand by that. If you look in my apartment, not one to be found. So,
but it's not that it's not for lack of wanting. It's not for lack of
no.
It's really, you know, fantasization.
Yes, but who doesn't love fantasy? You know what I mean? Like, who doesn't like? It's like, you know, when people are like,
we tell ourselves stories to stay alive.
Exactly. Like, people are like, I need a crush to like motivate me. Like, it's not even about the want of the relationship, but like the fantasy of the crush. And it's like, that's me with vapes.
With vapes, right? You can like, it's like, okay, a little here and there as like a getting through the
week. As a treat. Also, I don't do like drugs like that. Like, my drugs are literally like hitting someone else's vape. Weed and like drinking sometimes when I go out if invited. So like this is it. Like me being a little tipsy and like hitting a vape, like that.
Meanwhile, I did ketamine in the bathroom last night, so
no tea. Listen.
And look, you're an ally to the drug community.
Oh,
you're gay.
Absolutely. I'm 1,000% an ally. It is not for any sort of self-righteousness.
Here's the thing. Also last night, and if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen this, but I won poker.
Right, exactly.
And, like, it was crazy. Like, I fucking swept. Like, it's like sapphic poker night, right? Mm-hmm. In St. Louis. If you're in St. Louis, you can catch me there. Don't stalk me, though, because I already have some stalkers, and it's getting scary. Like, low-key, like, a little bit.
I'm sure.
And that's the other thing, too. I tweeted this the other day, which, by the way, none of you are allowed to follow my Twitter. If you're not already on my Twitter, this is a closed
circle. It's a gated community.
It's a gated community, and you need, like, four reference letters, like, letters of recommendation to get in. And you also have to be someone that I would be comfortable, like, inviting to my house or, like, going on vacation with. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna be on my Twitter, on my personal Instagram, that's just how it is, okay? Sorry, but also not, because, like, I was tweeting this, and Renaissance liked this tweet, but it was, like, having an internet presence is just constantly thinking about yourself in the third person. Like,
I've been trying to heal from that, but it's like,
it's so deeply embedded in our consciousness, because when we were 18, we were getting hit tweets every other fucking day and arguing for 12 hours straight online. Like, Jesus Christ.
But also, one thing that I've noticed in me trying to change my relationship to social media in like just like these past couple of months is also, it's like, in order to be successful on social media, you also kind of have to just like be deranged. Like, there's really no way to like be successful on social media
and
have a healthy relationship with it.
To the internet,
which is like unfortunate, I think, because I think the internet is fun. And I think that you can find so many fun personalities that you can interact with or just like witness in this very specific way that's different from interacting with people in real life, right? People aren't just like speaking out like strings of like funny babble on the street. You know what I mean? Like you just get to,
you can't just go up to someone and be like, what's your hottest take? Like
literally. And so I think that's like part of the fun of social media, but at the same time, like, it also only has, like, if you're just like a user who like doesn't get paid in an SRS influencer way on social media, like, it only has the meaning that you give it. And, like, sometimes social media, and, like, really I'm talking about, like, Twitter, can get, like, it really can turn into, like, let men be masculine type rhetoric very quickly in a way that I'm just, like, it makes it difficult to interact with when, like, I'm essentially at the point of my, with what I want from social media to be, like, what my long-distance friends are updating me about their life. Like, I don't need to see
random takes.
So many bad. Yeah, I don't need to see random takes.
Because it just pisses you off.
Anyways. Like, it does. Like, I get angry and I'm like, that's not even what I'm here for. Like, I'm here to key with my friends.
Mostly
and
my
then
usage.
I end up, like, seeing stuff that, like, pisses. That just pisses
and then I
me.
Get the texts. I get the text being like, this person, which is, like, always tea, you know what I mean? Like, I'm never gonna. And for example, like, right now, my friend Reem is sending me tweets at this. I'm seeing the notifications roll in. It's like when you're on Twitter and, like, you have friends who are on Twitter, you're gonna end up sending each other tweets that, like, make you think of the other person or that you want to talk about with the other person, whether that be to, like, hate on or to be like, oh, this is so hee hee ha ha. And that's, like, the beauty of it. I mean, I go on Twitter to laugh. I go on there to giggle and laugh. And I do. I do. And I also go on there to share my lesbian drama and feed the people. Like, that's really, like, I'm doing a community service by being single and, like, dating. By, by updating the people on my drama. Well, yes.
And I think, like, with Twitter and tweets and, like, talking about fuck, what was I going to say? Like, the whole, like, the whole getting mad aspect, and this is what I was gonna say, is even when I go on Twitter with the intention to laugh, I will see tweets that other people are laughing at that
and be
pissed,
right?
Yes, because I'm just like, y'all are performing
stupid.
Joy to experience joy, right? Like, so many people's lives are so genuinely void of joy that they will take whatever crumb that feels like it's appropriate to laugh at without actually developing a sense of humor. And I don't even mean that, like, in a pretentious way. Like, I think old children's media, like, even the shows that I grew up with or anything, like, even content made for children still had a somewhat developed sense of humor, at least for, like, the child's level. And it's like, I feel like we've even, like, lost that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, sometimes I rewatch children's movies and I'm like, but this is actually funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
and
I feel like even the era of, like, comedians on Twitter has kind of passed, where, like, Rachel Sennett was like a poster, you know what I mean? Like, she was a tweeter, or, like, even, like, Caleb Heron and people like that.
And now they all have podcasts. Now they all do live sets, and the only clips you get from the live sets are them doing crowd work. Like,
exactly. And, like, I feel like it's because, like, the Twitter audience has changed so much and is kind of insufferable and almost is, like, only likes the same, like, 15 to 20 words rejumbled and then reposted to ad nauseum, and then, like, we move on to the next batch of, like, you know, buzzwords, and it's just, like, I don't know, it feels like something has shifted, and I'm like, either my brain is developing like, in real time, like, I feel like I'm leveling up every day.
That fucking January 2020 tweet, something has shifted.
Yes. And then, yeah. Also, like, the whole, like, AI everywhere.
Oh, my God. Dude, I get ads when I'm playing fucking games. Like, I'll be playing, like, Sudoku, and I'll get an ad that is, like, very clearly, like, an illustration generated by AI. And it's just, like, this is not serious. You're already a scammy game ad, and now you're incorporating AI into this. What happened to, like, good old-fashioned scammy bullshit? Like, stupid illustrations and shit like that.
Yes.
Like, why we gotta put this through the AI churn machine of bullshit generation? Like, it's a bullshit generator. Like, you just spin the wheel and, like, more and more shit from an ass or shit from a butt comes out. Like,
literally.
Truly.
And even the, not the ads on YouTube that, like, play before, like, in the videos, but the ones that are, like, underneath the description. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they look almost like posts on mm-hmm. YouTube. You have YouTube Premium, so I don't know if you see these.
But I've seen it on other people's, like, YouTube profiles and stuff.
Yeah. And I saw one where it was, like, an AI-generated Santa. But I was like, let me check. I saw it, and I was like, first you get, like, the inkling, and then literally you look for a detail like that, and it's very clearly AI. But one hand had, like, legit, like, it was, like, three fingers, one thumb, and then the other hand had, like, five fingers, one thumb.
Oh, my God.
And I was, like, so, like, clearly in the foreground of this AI-generated image. And I was, like,
y'all aren't even trying. Y'all aren't even trying a little bit.
I was, like, please. All I had to do was look down, and the proof was right there. There's a new Honda commercial that has generative AI in the background that pisses me the fuck off. It's coming up in real life conversations. I talked to a tattoo artist last night who majored in art, but was originally going to do animation. And I was like, wow, you really like saved yourself by not majoring in animation, especially like living in LA, because like the way that AI is like decimating that field, unfortunately, like it's not a good thing. Yeah. And like hating AI as someone who like actually draws and like actually creates art, and like as someone who like appreciates knowing that creative people are working on something, it's just it's dark days. And also it's like, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but people have been making AI photos of sexy red and various like black historical figures. I saw two. One with sexy red and Martin Luther King Jr. And then her and Rosa Parks. Like,
y'all are not funny. This is not funny.
Why are we why are we wasting so much water on this?
Yes. The fucking Grok.
Anyways.
The fucking the AI slot from Twitter itself.
I know. I'm not a clue. I know what Grok is. Like, it's on Twitter, but I don't know what
it is. I saw a thread that was like, here's my Grok AI generated images thread. And it was just like images of people who have died with their like living children or whatever, like famous people.
Yeah.
Like imagined in the future, something along those lines, which is just like, how ghoulish and disgusting and truly horrific. Like, you people have no souls. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say?
Oh, I've also, one time I was watching this like long video essay, probably while I was like, I think I was making breakfast, and I got like every single ad roll in the video was for Google Gemini. And it would also be like two ads back to back, but they'd both be for Google Gemini, so it felt like one extra long ad, which I'm like, nasty work. But one of the like selling points, like not just as like a search engine or whatever, which like which you're literally Google, like
you're literally Google.
Like, the verb to look something up is now to Google something, and now you're absolutely, like, decimating that brand and that cachet with AI, which I think is, like, absolutely tragic. But one
also using Gemini, bitch. Right, exactly.
Right. And one of the selling points was, like, in all, like, you can do all this stuff, and you can also just talk to me on, like, whatever's on your mind. And it shows, like, people, like, alone at night, like in like their bedroom or something, clearly supposed to depict someone who is like depressed. Alone, who's like not even depressed, but just like like simply the state of being alone, like the state of being the only person in the room and wanting to talk to someone, and they're holding their phone in their hand, opening Google Gemini.
Fucking crazy.
Call a friend. Call a friend. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I was like 12, 13, 14 with like internet friends in Australia. And like and like Europe and like Latin America. So like I could log on at any time and talk to someone. But I'm like, why are we not, I don't know, like teaching people how to make friends? Like, why are friends of people who use AI for like social connection not reaching out to their friends and like trying to create a flourishing social life. Like, it shows that, like, these companies are being so predatory on these needs that are clearly being shown and felt in the zeitgeist and the culture of, like, people being lonely, people feeling like there's no one to talk to without being judged, or this lack of, like, vulnerability, which I definitely think that, like, social media has accelerated, and the fact that, like, at any moment someone that you're close to can just, like, betray you and post screenshots of your conversations and have, like, thousands of strangers, like, drag you, and, like, you don't know what's going to be a hit and what's not. And this idea that you can have, like, a confidential conversation with someone who isn't going to traumatize you is clearly a need that is, like, felt by a lot of people. And these AI companies are, like, trying to, like, prey on that. But it's only, like, exacerbating the loneliness that people are going to feel. Because at the end of the day, AI is not human connection. As much as these brands and companies want to sell it to you as such, it is never going to actually, like... Like,
I mean...
fix that.
Technology has always served to both try to fill gaps in social... like, in the social order... and also to accelerate social issues, you know? And it's just, like, one of the predominating 21st century social circumstances is loneliness and mental health crisis of living under late-stage capitalism. And so tech companies can capitalize off of that and, in fact, bank on it. They want you to be lonely. They want you to not have friends. Because then you can use their products more, and then they can, like, scrape more data from you in order to make these products better so more people can use them. It's, like, it's genuinely insane the extent and the degree to which AI has seemingly, like, all of the sudden, out of the blue, started dominating everything about the internet, and it is so... it's just, like, so terrifying and horrible. Like, I was talking, we were talking about this, like, how, I was telling Renaissance how I was talking about, with our friends about how, like, we are anti-AI, pro-robot. Like, how tech and the development of technology is something that's, like, so crucial to making people's lives better, but in making it better, it also, like, almost evenly can make it so much worse. Like, Sylvia Federici in her Wages for Housework pamphlet back, like, in the 70s, in sort of responding to the idea of, like, reproductive labor being outsourced to technology, such as with the washing machine or the dishwasher, etc. Her response to that was, like, actually, the only technology that has freed women from work that's been developed in this century is the contraceptive. And that's a fucking banger. I read that excerpt in a book that we read for Lesbian Feminist Book Club. They Call It Love by Alva Gottby. We had a really great discussion about it. All of our discussions on Lesbian Feminist Book Club are, like, so fantastic, by the way. Like, it's entirely virtual. Like, it's all on Zoom, and all of our Zoom conversations always end up being, like, at a minimum, like, 90 minutes. It feels like the best parts of, like, an English seminar in so many ways. And, you know, I'm making these people read, I'm making members read one book every 2 weeks because, but you're going to forget if you don't, if it's not fresh on your mind, if we're not going at that level, at that pace. Yeah. In college, there were classes where I had to read a book a week. Like, sometimes like a book every 2 weeks, but, like, a book a week for our class. Mm-hmm. And that also makes me think about how, like, there's this whole discourse right now where professors are like, or people are just like, people don't read books anymore. Like, even at these, like, elite institutions and colleges and stuff, it's like professors will ask their students, like, when's the last time they, like, read a fucking book, and they're like, Percy Jackson when I was 12, like, you know what I mean, or whatever. Or, like, when do you read, and did you even read your high school assigned reading, or do you just mark notes that shit? Like, it's that type of thing where it's like, oh, it's this, are people no longer, like, reading books? Anyway, I was just thinking about that, because that's totally linked to AI.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, like, also, it just reminds me of, like, how the cotton gin did not stop slavery. You know, if anything,
it
was proven it made it worse, even though that was a quote unquote, you know, revolutionary technology at the time. And in regards to, like, production, right? Yeah. In regards to labor. And I think the same thing can also be tied to AI in the fact that, like, AI is ran by real people. And, like, ran by real people who are making, like, slave wages in, like, continental Africa and I think, like, mostly, like,
Kenya.
The Congo. Yeah, in Kenya. Kenya, and then also there's, like, the mining issue and, like, the water wastage that, like, is definitely already impoverished and hyper-exploited areas are going to face the brunt of these issues first, which is, like, on one hand, I am pro-robot, but then again, it's, like, okay, what are the materials needed to even, like, make these robots? Mm-hmm. Like, how are the people, or if people are making these robots, like, how do you build a robot that makes a robot? Like, what is the sustainability of it? Although, like, conceptually, and I feel like this has been, like, talked about by several communists before, it's, like, the ideal workday is not 8 hours. Like, most people are, even if they have an 8-hour shift, are not working for 8 hours. Like, the amount, like, in an 8-hour shift, in order to make the amount that you're gonna make, like, on your wage for that is made within the first hour or how, like, not very long, which means that the rest of that time is just profit and going to, you know, the CEO or whoever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, I think, like, so much time is wasted in so many other aspects of just, like, regarding capitalism. And I think it shows just, like, the economic structure of things and also, like, the culture that certain economic structures, like, engender. It, even if the developments or inventions or progress is, like, neutral or even can be seen as an objective good, under capitalism, it will be used to perpetuate the same evils that capitalism necessitates. Yeah. Like, anyways, I think, like, it's just, like, none of these band-aids are actually ever going to be used in a way that is fruitful for people or frees up their time.
When it doesn't come with revolution, when it doesn't come with communist ideals, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not hand-in-hand, if they don't come in tandem, then it only furthers accelerates the existing state of things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, look at how long have we had, like, in-home computers, let alone the smartphone, for, like, instant global communication, yet there is no international workers' union. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was like, theoretically, like, wage workers make up the majority of people around the world who have access to speak to each other. I mean, now English has become, like, the lingua franca of the world. You know, I'm like, so many people have a common language, have devices to speak to each other instantaneously, and yet we struggle to organize ourselves into, like, internationally, let alone locally, and actually, like, assess the various needs and assess the ways that people are being fucked over in all the ways that looks.
Like, if communists in the 60s had access to global telecommunication that we did, like, imagine. I feel like
the Black Panthers with the Signal app would have been crazy, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, I'm just like, like, even just, like, these things, and also, like, almost everything, whether necessary or not, is, like, stealing your data to be sold. And it's, like, that's literally me. Like, that's literally my data. Not getting a penny from it. Like, a decade on social media, when Instagram and Twitter roll in millions and millions and millions, and I'm someone who's been on both of those apps very consistently for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter that I'm not an influencer. I should be getting a check from Twitter and Instagram. Thing,
right? Because they profit off of our data to sell things back to us. Why are we not making any money from this? Like, that's something that I feel like people should be... That's like a front of worker organization that I think people haven't really tapped into. At least I haven't really seen it, because it's like... It's something where it feels so obvious. It feels so obvious. It feels like it doesn't even need to be said. And yet here we all are, like dumbasses, letting our data be sold for without getting paid for it. Like, damn, we're getting cucked. We're getting fucked over by these tech companies.
I mean,
look, we're paying them. I'm paying Zoom to use this, to record this right now. Like, the fuck?
And the thing is like, people will try and undersell themselves, like, as if, like, Twitter and Instagram aren't thinking about me, you know? And in a way, they're not. They're thinking of the string of numbers. But if you ask someone high up enough, what is the the objective value of a consistent poster, user, engager for this number of years? Like, someone who is consistently, like... having logging new followers, logging in, getting these interactions. Over time, how valuable is that user's data? You will most likely be surprised at the number. Like, you are actually quite valuable, even if you're just a normal person using a social media app consistently enough. And so now the fact that, like, these social media sites that have made so much money off of selling and collecting the data of real people, while these real people are not getting paid, only to then overrun these sites with AI and make AI bots interacting with AI content. And it's like, are you not losing your data? And like, only to make Twitter blue, where like people are paying to have Twitter blue when Twitter is already making a profit off of selling their data. It's like,
it's insane.
Like, it's how crazy. Are people being convinced to do these things? Yeah. Like,
it's a fucking pyramid scheme also, because if you have Twitter blue and you're, like, farming for engagement to get money at the end of every month, like, do you not see how, it's literally a pyramid scheme. Oh, if you put down this amount of money now, then, like, you can recruit more people, you can, like, get more, like, bitch. And we're all engaging with it, too. Like, that's what's scary. But yeah, so speaking of AI... Let's talk about our Spotify Wrapped.
No, literally. Which, perfect segue, but I do think that it's like, listen, do I think that I listened to my best music, you know, this past year? Maybe not. Maybe not. And I'll take that on me. But at the same time, I think a lot of people, I saw a lot of comments on like Twitter and Tumblr talking about how like they were not satisfied with their Spotify Wrapped. I also think that there's like way less... features like in the story, like way less. Like last year I got like The Alchemist because I like listened to my own playlist. Like everyone got like you know,
a little personality. I think
last year's theme was like almost like tarot card reading themed. I think
there's also the location thing,
how many playlists you made, how many just like other fun aspects, and also I thought the visuals were more exciting. And this year, I wasn't getting any theme.
I know.
I was really not gagged.
It's crazy because it's like we give them so much data, we give them so much money, and they give us what? Crumbs? Not even. And it's also just like, because everyone's complaining about how like the data also seems off. Like it doesn't seem right. This is 100% because Spotify like laid off a bunch of its employees, started using AI. Like, oh my God, do we not see how this is like... See, also, even on Zoom, there's a little feature next to my profile that says, AI Companion 2.0 is here.
Yes.
I don't fucking want it. I don't want it. No. I don't want it. Like, but then, see, even voicing that, I can only think of, like, the fact that tech companies will also find a way to profit off of that, because then you're going to be able to buy your way into not having to engage with AI at all. The same way that you can buy your way out of not having to engage with ads, which is why, like, I'm going to be leeching off of my family's YouTube premium membership for the rest of my fucking life. But, like, and the same way that you pay Spotify to not have to show you ads, like, it is there's just the paywallification of every single fucking thing in a way that is just such a scam all the time. I really respect people who, like our friend Matt, he doesn't use Spotify. And I think Rainfish or Quan tweeted about this too, how, like, they don't use Spotify. They don't have, like, they don't have the app on their phone at all. They just, like, Rain tweeted about how she, like, listens to, I don't know how, she said something about, like, a compact disc player type situation that is portable as a way of listening to albums the way that, you know, God intended, the way that artists intended, which is, like, as an album, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's all very respectable and fun and retro and chic and, but then if you say that, it's like, oh my gosh, like, are you elitist? Do you actually look down upon people who, like, you're being so elitist right now. You're not morally superior for not using these things. It's like, well, actually, here's the thing. Whenever people start bringing up this question of moral superiority and, like, smugness.
Right.
The only reason why you feel that way, and, like, I've been in that position before as well, is because you know that you're in the wrong. You know that you are inferior. And now you're just projecting onto other people, regardless of whether they are smug or not. Like, regardless of whether they are being shaming you or being condescending or not, you just know, it's like veganism or vegetarianism. It's like, yeah, like, that's objectively the correct way of going about the world. I mean, I'm not vegan or vegetarian, but, like, I understand that on a moral, ethical level, and in basically every single way, like, yes, you are morally superior to me if you don't eat meat or meat products. Probably, yeah. And then same with, like, and that's, I think, the same with, like, being a lesbian, even. Like, people will be so, will feel so, like, victimized by the fact that they are attracted to, actively engage with, date, pursue, have romantic relationships with men, and think that lesbians think that we are better than them because, like, we don't do that. And, like, in some ways, like, yeah, kind of we are. I mean, sorry, but, and then, but at the same time, it's like, this is not because, this is because of the material reality of the world that we live in. It's not, like, me not using AI as opposed to people who do in order to, like, I don't know, not have to write their college essays or whatever, which is crazy because, bitch, you're going into debt to do what? You're going into debt to turn out bullshit? Who does this serve? Anyways, I know that I am better than people who do that because I know that I'm not engaging in the same shit that they do that actually, like, harms people, you know? It's just like, you know, there's, if people are starting to be defensive about, like, oh, you think you're better than me because you read books? You think you're better than me because you don't use Spotify? It's like, well, yes. I think people who don't use Spotify should feel like they are better than me, actually. And I do think that I should feel better than people who don't read. And it's like, and also, if you're so hung up about it, if you care so much about it, this is stuff that, and we were talking about this too, like, you can just fix that. You can just start doing those things. You don't gotta be a lesbian, but you don't have to keep dating men. Like, you don't gotta, you know what I mean? Like, it's very simple, actually. You don't gotta, like, you can stop. You you can learn more.
I completely agree. And also, I think, like, on one hand, you know, maybe not everyone is gay. But on the other, I'm like,
everyone has the potential for gayness, though.
Yeah. Is what I'm saying, though. I'm like, so you're just writing off this whole aspect or demographic of sexiness and connection and compatibility for what? Like, for what? Like, you're telling me, like, if not a stud, if a butch, if a baddie, you know, walks
but
in,
also,
like,
but that's the thing, too. Like, people don't, like, as much as people want to talk, sorry, I interrupted you. Finish your sentence.
Oh, no, but it's just, like, it's like any, also, I think, like, when it comes to, like, being gay or not being gay, and it's, like, whatever, the politics that come with that, whatever, regardless, it's, like, if it's about, like, oh, I can't imagine myself having, like, X type of sex, and it's, like, everyone in every dynamic or every interaction is having different sex, or, like, you're only going to get the sex that, like, you communicate, and if you genuinely know what you like and what you want to do, and you find someone who matches that and, like, you find them hot, you know what I mean? I'm like, you can have any kind of sex with anyone, really. That you want. You know? Like, yeah, like, that you want. Like, that, if your idea of, like, oh, I would be so uncomfortable doing X sex thing or whatever.
Well, you don't gotta. Like, no one's making you. Yeah, I mean, if they are, they're, like, a rapist. Like, damn. No,
exactly, which also, like, that does not have a particular sexuality or a particular look to it as well. Like, there's not, like, lesbian, like, notary in the corner, like, watching you have sex.
Like, so checkbox each, like, one, each item exactly. done. That's, like, when people are like, wait, how do lesbians have sex? And it's just, it just makes me laugh, because it's just, like, you know, the way that they want, the way we want, I guess. Yeah. I mean, and also, like, the other thing is, well, okay, people are always, like, when people are talking about how, like, oh my gosh, like, sexuality is fluid, blah, 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 as a way to denigrate people who are very firmly, like, lesbian or gay.
Homosexual.
Well, yeah. Right. But, like, what they don't understand is that within that firmness, when, like, gay men are gay men, or, like, when lesbians are lesbians, there's so much fluidity there. There is so much beauty within that. Like, do you know how many gay men who are attracted to men are, like, with the queens, you know? Like, are wanna fuck trans women? Wanna fuck butches? Like, do you know how many butches and, like, femmes are into, like, queens and gay men, like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's so much that can be done within this, and it's like, you also,
like,
it's
just gay, like, men love butches, and by the way, that is still gay sex. Like,
yes, that is, like, right, exactly.
Like, gay people having sex with each other is gay sex.
But, yeah, like, unless you're a bi, she, they, with a boyfriend, or a they, them, with a mustache, like,
right, of course, sorry, no, I'm talking about real gay people. Sorry, real gay people having sex with other real gay people is gay sex.
Because, and that's the other thing, too, about the, like, morality police projection, like, the, the projection of, like, ooh, you think you're so much better than me, it's like, this is, it's not because, it's not a gatekeepy thing. In fact, it's always an invitation. If you think someone is better than you because of X, Y, and Z, you can just do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's quite easy.
Out-mug them. You know what I mean? Literal. Like, okay, like, and also, I got into, literally on, like, fucking day 4 of being on Tumblr.com. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm on Tumblr. But,
what's your username?
The vibe check, Sui Renaissance, same as...
Oh, yeah, same as
on everything else. And just because people are like, oh, like, Tumblrs aren't personal, but also I'm like, listen, I'm just here to be me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to change Tumblr culture.
Yeah.
I'm not here trying to be, like, in, you know, and I'm really serving Tumblrina, you know? Yeah, but I'm just interested in these other corners of the internet.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've been on the same, like, fucking 2 for 10 years. Like, I just... Yeah. Want to see what else is out there. And but literally on day 4 I got into this, like, hours long back and forth with someone in my ask box about my thoughts of if I think femme for femme is valid, and, like,
no way.
And, like, the validity of femme for femme versus femme for butch, and also butch for butch. Like, they're like, so you think butch for butch is valid but not femme for femme?
Nothing is valid, actually. None of you are valid. There's no validity, period. None of you are valid. Okay. Like, you're not valid. I'm not valid. You're not valid. You have no validity, actually.
That's what I was... That's, like, all. In every single response, I was like, I have zero jurisdiction on how people live their lives, nor do people calling themselves these things or, like, describing their relationships as this, like, in the world affects me 0%. Like, I have...
Girl, I'm not bothered.
It's not my fucking business. A notification, like, I don't have a shock collar every time someone utters the phrase femme for femme, you know? Like, you are asking me to validate something that I genuinely have no jurisdiction. Like, validity from me means nothing. Right. It means absolutely nothing.
Right.
And the reason why this even came up was because I did make a post of, like, I was looking, and, like, so much of the femme tag, or just, like, my initial showings on Tumblr was, like, very, like, skinny, white, like, coquettish, but it was still lesbian oriented. And, like, just, like, very, like, what if we kissed and we both had bows in our hair type thing?
Yes, hashtag yes. High well, fem. But that's the thing, too. Like, people, that has, okay, someone tweeted this probably back in 2017 or something, like, 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, someone was, like, the damage that cottagecore, ooh, sapphic, like, picnic blanket, Tumblr, and Pinterest has done on the lesbian community is, like, you can't even contend with it because it's just done so much damage. And it's like,
yes.
It's true. It is so true. It is this desexualized version of a perfect form of femininity that has yes. no room for the reality of womanhood, the reality of fat women, the reality of disabled women, the reality of women who look any type of way, lesbians who exist in the world in any type of way, lesbians who aren't women, like, has no concept of that, doesn't even include that within their understandings of lesbianism. It's is out of touch with reality. There's lesbians mm-hmm. that look like anything, that do anything, are engaging in any type of shit that you can think of. Like, yes, that's just how it is. And two, it's also such a it's so limiting to people who otherwise would just be dykes, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
That is literally, like, okay, I talk about this all the time when people mm-hmm. talk about, like, oh, do I look, like, some days I dress mask, some days I dress femme, like, what am I? And I'm like, being a lesbian used to be in and of itself a
yeah.
look, you know what yeah. I mean? And, yeah. like, so many femmes I know, myself, I'm like, I wear boots, I wear men's pants, I like mm-hmm. to wear leather jackets. Mm-hmm. That does not make me androgynous or, like, not mm-hmm. a femme or, mm-hmm. like, or, like, futch in any way because I wear these articles of clothing.
Yeah.
When, like, there are so many lesbians that if you look, like, if when their pictures go viral or whatever on social media are called, like, giving futch. And it's like, no, that's just what a lesbian looks like. Like, that mm-hmm. is just what a lesbian who mm-hmm. is themselves, like, mm-hmm. and dresses like a dyke looks like. And mm-hmm. that is different than being butch. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? Like, mm-hmm. this kind of sort of androgyny slay that wasn't, mm-hmm. it wasn't not androgyny, but, like, that just came with being a lesbian, mm-hmm. I think is, like, a lost recipe that, like,
yeah.
we must find. We must yes, translate. Yes, we must yes. go back to the
And that's the other thing, too. The fucking, like, butch femme, like, scale thing that Tumblr originated, yeah. the high femme stone butch, like, blue to pink scale type shit, yeah. that also has done irreparable damage to the lesbian community and those who are seeking to flirt with the lesbian community. It's like, y'all, we need to move past this. We need to move past this mm-hmm. and we need to learn to recognize that, like, there are, like, many truths can be held at once. If me and my butch lover are gonna denigrate femme for femme lesbians, who cares? Why do you care what we think? The issue is the reversal. Why can women hate men but men can't hate women? Bitch, because the world already hates women. It's because the world already thinks that mm-hmm. butches are gross and ugly and bad and failing womanhood. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, and that's the other thing, too, like, in terms of women coming in all shapes and sizes and variations, it's, like, women as a group and as a category as well, it's through the sort of #high femme, sapphic, Tumblrina type shit, like, it also is such a, it's another form of dehumanization for
yeah.
women that.
That's the thing. Being a, like, a white, skinny, attractive, rich, white woman, like, yeah. like, imagine, like, the most, I guess, like, privileged you could be mm-hmm. as a woman will still not protect you from misogyny mm-hmm. or, like, the mm-hmm. discriminations of being a woman. Mm-hmm. And it's sick. I think yeah. like so yeah. many people are gendered and face misogyny in every which way, in every conceivable way. Like, misogyny will mm-hmm. alter itself to hurt you in your specific way. It's
if you are a woman of any kind, you know.
Yes.
Or even, you know, if you're woman adjacent, the women and femmes, etc. Mm-hmm. It's like, and also that's also, I think, why so many people are uncomfortable with woman as like a term, and why it's hard to organize around the label and the axis of womanhood nowadays, because it's like so many people feel a disconnection with it that has nothing to do with like necessarily dysphoria or anything, but more mm-hmm. from the fact that like we live in a world where womanhood is supposed to look one type of way, and if you're already failing that on the outset, like you have like you either neutrally accept this to be your truth and like whatever, who cares, it doesn't matter, that's just what I am and what it is, or you totally embrace it and like defend it in a way that is like very regressive, or you reject it entirely even when you exist in the world as a woman. Like I feel like those are really not entirely, but you reject it in some aspects of your life in ways that are like, yeah, like you, the seems to be the post third wave feminism, like quote unquote, like options, it seems mm-hmm. from my perspective for women, where like so many of us are not comfortable with or are not don't fit within like what socially constitutes womanhood, like the she her pronouns, the like dresses and long hair, or not even that, but like a certain type of moving about the world, and it's specifically also engaging with men and engaging with the world that like we mm-hmm. don't fit into, and it's just not how we are, and that's not what we're living as. But like to just live that out as your sort of individual truth and not understand that there's still regardless of your own personal feelings about it, there's still a larger sort of thing going on regarding women's issues and women's liberation. It's like you're gonna run into this wall every time. It's why the discourse surrounding whether trans masks or trans men in feminist spaces or lesbian spaces, etc., that has been pummeled into the ground for decades now, which we'll talk about in the book mm-hmm. that we're discussing in this right. in this episode, is so interesting, because it's like you, not even pick a side, but like pick a side in terms of are you a feminist or are you not? Like yeah. pick a side. Do you care about women or do you not? This has nothing to do with your own personal relationship to gender. Mm-hmm. What's your tea? Anyways, we were trying to talk about Spotify Wrapped. Girl.
Oh.
My shit was so...
everything leads to feminism.
And we've always said this. So, like, my top songs this year genuinely are so goofy to me. Like, what the hell was I I know what I was doing. The thing is, I know what I was doing, but at the same time, I'm still just like, oh my god. Maybe we should go through our top 10, like 10 to 1.
Yeah.
In terms of tracks. I think mine I posted mine, but I just...
like, but also, and you said this earlier about like people saying their stats were wrong, and right. mine was, I don't think so much for my top 5, but I use StatsFM, which is great if you... Uh-huh. love to fucking look up your own nose when it comes right. to your music right. stats. Like, I don't think normal people use it, but I love to know. Even though my like top of all time like has not been shifted. Like those are rarely moving around so much. Like I think the last major thing that really entered my top of all time was Beyoncé's Renaissance. Of course. I think it's such an excellent album. Also, there's one song that I fell asleep listening to that I have yet to knock from my number Oof. One time. My number one song of all time, and it's like low-key embarrassing, but I'm like, listen, it's also kind of my truth, so I'm like, to fight it too much is
yes.
It's just never gonna happen. But again, my number 10 song on my Spotify playlist is different than my number 10 song on my StatsFM for this year. So, mm-hmm.
So what does that say? Spotify, get your shit together. That's what that means.
But at the same time, my number 10 on Spotify is my number 7 song, so it's actually supposed to be mm-hmm. higher than it is.
Oh my gosh! So my number 10 was. Sympathy is a Knife by Charli XCX.
Such a good song.
So fucking good.
My number 10 is a song called Rain by AJ Tracy and Tay Keith, and it is a UK rap, I believe, hit, but also I don't know if it's a hit. Oh yeah, it has over 200 million streams.
Okay, wait, what's it called?
It's called Rain, and the rapper's name is H, but it's spelled out, so A-I-T-C-H. And the thing is I think this song is just funny as fuck.
Yeah.
Whenever I need, like, a fun, like, I listen to it doing my makeup, if I was about to go out that night.
Right,
I just wanted to be in a little silly, goofy mood, yeah. I put that track on, so I'm like, I did low-key really stream.
Yeah.
That song this year.
But the thing is that my number 10 on Stats FM is Bed Chem by Sabrina Carpenter.
T.
But my number 9 on my Spotify one is also Bed Chem. So, you know. What's your number 9?
Exactly. My number 10 on Stats FM is Beat Boa, Bitch on Arrival by Megan.
Yes.
Megan Thee Stallion.
That's a great fucking song. Dude, Boa is right below. So it's Sympathies and I have 10, 11, Casual, 12, Boa for me on my Spotify. Top 24.
It's so good.
Yes. My number 9 on Spotify is Hiss because, well, yes.
Tea.
We've been Megan girlies for so long, but also it's like that's such a femme trait. That's such a femme. Will you ever encounter a femme in the world that doesn't fuck with Megan Thee Stallion? Not possible.
Literally.
Not possible.
Literally.
She's a woman's woman. Like, she's not a girl's girl. She's a woman's woman. Like,
dead ass. And honestly, like, she was on, like, you know, she was like getting her bag. You know, like, yes, she was doing a lot of projects, and I'm like, listen, is this artistically your best work? No, but I know you're getting paid bank, so I don't care.
Yes.
But I feel like with Megan Act 1 and definitely with Megan Act 2, which we'll get to definitely in my top 10, I'm like, she's back. She's back.
Megan top 2, when I tell you, Bigger Than Texas, that fucking song.
I heard it.
It was too, oh my god. Yeah, collected, snatched.
I was like, She's back.
And the music video, too. Back. Like, oh, my God. She is cunt mother. Cunt with a Q. Like, yeah.
Like, so good. My number 9 on Spotify is Say It by Maggie Rogers.
Oh, my God. I fucking love that song.
A revival. Because I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I, like, heard it in, like, a coffee shop or something. And I was like, wait a second.
This fucking banger.
And then I went back through and I was like, right.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes the voice of God does just channel into a person one time.
Yes, yes.
And it's, like, well, also, that gif that's, like, the quill on fire, like, writing in fire. And it's, like, to me, that's Maggie Rogers would Say It.
And that's what the coffee shop was to you. God descending into their, you know, burning bush, like, you must stream Say It by Maggie Rogers 300 times this year. You must.
Literally. And then sometimes, whenever I hear, like, a good song, but, like, played in, like, retail stores or, like, coffee shops,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, how does everyone hear and not just go, wait, pause, and let's listen? Like, because sometimes it's bullshit, and it's like, okay, you just need music playing, whatever.
Right.
But sometimes, like, a good song will come on,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, why are we not taking this moment to appreciate?
Yeah, that's how I feel running the playlist at my work. When I'm on aux, everybody gonna know. And also because, like, also my boss, my manager walked by one day and was like, this is very millennial of me, but I really appreciate your playlist. I'm loving these songs, loving these tracks you chose. I noticed that was your playlist and I really enjoyed it. I was like, well, yes.
Yes.
But what was your number 8?
My number 8 on Spotify is Von Dutch by Charlie XCX.
Oh my gosh. T. My number
and
8
it's,
on...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's because fierce. It's a banger. It's literally it's, fierce.
Again, a lot... Anytime my Spotify top 10 will be, like, either songs that I, like, really focused on, and then songs that I played doing my makeup.
right.
Because those are songs that I'm most consistently, like, going back to. Like, yeah. I feel like for, like, guys and like bros, it's like their gym songs will like unintentionally be their like top songs, because it's like the same songs they go back to. And like for me, it's like my pregame makeup playlist. Songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
My number seven is I'm Gonna Get You Back by Taylor Swift. Like, I'm sorry, I love that song. I love that song. And y'all know I love a song that is like, Get 'Em Back by Olivia Rodrigo. I think last year that was probably on my top 10 or something like that too. I love a song about that, because I'm at the end of the day, I'm a Cancer. At the end of the day, I'm a Cancer.
You use being a Cancer and the way that Latinas use being Latina as like this some sort of like get out of jail free card for some things.
I'm gonna get
you're like lucky back. To be born a Cancer, namas tuve suerte, like
when I love hard
to love cancerly to be it's, loved cancerly
to be to love as a Cancer does in some ways that makes you Mexican, right? What was your number seven?
My number seven is, of course, Good Luck, Babe by Chapel Rowan.
Girl, please. Top. That but the thing fucking is, banger.
As someone who has listened to Chapel, and we've talked about this many, many times before.
Many times.
But as someone who has listened to Chapel Rowan since 2020, check it, I have the receipt. As someone who went and saw her at a small venue concert in Los Angeles in March, early March, because it was well before my birthday, because that's when I saw Taylor Swift last year in 2023. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm like, wow, she made it. This is long overdue. Yeah. I've been listening to her for years.
And now seeing her play sold out, like tens of thousands of people at her fucking festival sets, like it's crazy. Meteoric. It's crazy. Because I saw her in October of, 2022. Like, bitch, like, I was fucking there. I was barricaded. I had my DSLR camera. I didn't give a fuck. They were not going to take that from me. Like.
No, and it's, but also, it's, like, as someone who, like, has been listening to her, and, like, also, like, listening to these songs as they came out, like, as singles. And, like, just, like, eating them up.
Yes.
Or, like, listening with open ears at the concert because the singles weren't released yet.
Yes.
And like trying to soak it up. But also it's like, and this happens to like any major pop star, like ever, like that's just how it goes. But it's like, are you guys listening to these songs to actually listen to them? Like, y'all know the lyrics. Fine, cute, cool. But it's like, when she's this popular at this scale, I feel like a level of appreciation for her artistry gets taken away. Yeah. And now it's like, again, I feel like social media like encourages this performance of liking in the way that it also encourages this performance of hating, where I'm like, you guys are laughing to laugh. You guys are hating to hate. You guys are liking just to like, with no actual development of your personal taste or what you actually like and how that can contribute to a conversation. But anyways, no tea, no shade. Obviously I love Chapel. I love, you know, that she's sticking to her guns and maintaining her artistic integrity. And I love the song, obviously. But it's just like, I also just feel strange like interacting with the like Chapel Rowan fandom at large.
Yeah.
Beyond like friends that I know who love her. Like you've been a Chapel stan.
Yeah.
Like a stan. But anyways.
From my fucking 20th birthday party, bitch. Exactly. So my number six is 360 by Charlie XCX.
Cute.
When you're looking in the mirror, you're looking at me, bitch. Yep.
My number six is Wannabe by the Spice Girls, and I'm not even sorry about it. Absolutely cute. Banger of a pop song.
My number five is Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter, because that's that me espresso. Like,
and that's classy. That's actually classy. That's the correct placement for that song, and we're going to find out why I say that in just a moment. But you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. My number five on Spotify is Bitch on Arrival, or Boa, by Megan Thee Stallion. But on my Stats FM, it's lower. But honestly, I don't mind, because did I listen to that song many, many times? Yes, I did. Well, yes. So, 5, 10, at that point, it doesn't matter.
The thing is that my number 4 is the first time a male artist has been on my Spotify Wrapped in years. Years. And it's Not Like Us by Kendrick Lamar.
That's because you're a hater to your core. Hater to your core. You love to drag a bitch down. If the moment calls for it, yeah.
Because they are not like us at all, at all.
I mean, it arguably one of, like, the songs of 2024.
Oh,
I
yeah, think definitely.
Such pop a defining moment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Because also, because of that, I was listening to Hit 'Em Up a lot this year, too, by Tupac and Outlawz. Like, because it's just, like, you got, and a lot of Drake actually ended up on my 2024, actually. Like, Rich Baby Daddy, featuring Sexy Red and SZA, of course, or what else? Or, like, Knife Talk with 21 Savage. Like, shit like that ended up on my top 100 in a way that was just, like, wow, it's all female artists, and then, like, Drake and Kendrick, like, because I'm messy. I'm messy like that, you know?
Right. That's that Gemini placement, that playing both sides. As much as the whole Drake and Kendrick thing was, like, so defining for 2024, yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, the culture, I also found it to be, like, surprising that, like, this was, like, the predominant conversation in hip-hop when, like, right. Malcolm Moore was, like, this white rapper who was, like, objectively not as talented, but is the one who's, like, talking about Palestine and Gaza the most.
Yes,
and
yes.
And I'm, like, it took me a while to listen to Kendrick's songs just because I'm, like, this feels so distracting from, what hip-hop should be talking about.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like hip-hop treats itself and others treat hip-hop as if it exists on a world of its own outside of what actually happens in the world. But I mean, do I watch every single FD Signifier video about Kendrick and Drake and hip hop?
Well, yes. Well,
absolutely.
Yes.
Because I think it's an interesting world, but I just found like these songs, like, obviously Drake's responses, which, like, tank Kendrick's songs, but then also, like, running parallel to that was Malcolm Moore's songs talking about Palestine. Was just, like, a very interesting moment.
Yes, culturally, for sure. I mean, because also Kendrick, like, surprise release dropped an album, like, a few weeks ago at time of recording. And there are quite a few songs off that album that I really fuck with, like, I really enjoy, which is interesting because I did not listen to at all his previous album. I think it's, like, Mr. Morales and the Big Steppers or something like that. Did not give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, did not care at all. But, like, this album, especially because he has multiple SZA collabs on it, oh my god, Luther by Kendrick featuring SZA. Oh my god, that song. And also, like, the fact that it's not an explicit song either. Like, there are no, like, curse words used in it, for real. Which is, like, well, anyway, I think that song is, like, transcendent. Like, I love that song so much. But obviously, it came out too late in the year for it to factor into my Spotify stats. But what was your number 4?
My number 4 is Bigger in Texas.
T.
Megan Thee Stallion. Which is crazy because it's my number 4 song for Spotify 2024, and it came out in, like, September, I think.
See, my Bigger in Texas is kind of lower on the list, but continue.
Yeah. No, I listened to it, like, every single time. I was like, actually play that back.
Yes, yes, let's run that shit back.
It is so, I think, like, the production and the track that she's rapping on is so good. It's so addictive.
Yes.
I think, like, her genuine penmanship and, like, her actual perspective as a rapper and a rapstress, I think, is...
A rap her.
Is present. It's coming back. I think Tina Snow is such a specific era. Like, I think, like, we're not going to get Tina Snow back exactly because I think, like, Tina Snow exists as she does. But I think that level of, like, ownership and just not self-awareness, what am I trying to say, but, like, oh no, it's just very strong. And it sounds like her. It sounds like the best of her.
She's very self-possessed.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Self-possessed. Yeah. And listen, I know she loves anime. I know she loves collabing with the K-pop. The K-popers. I need it to stop, though. I'm happy you're happy, but I'm like, I need 11 bigger in Texas on my desk in the next 6 months, I fear. So that's why, like the Megan Act 1 and Megan Act 2, it's like so hit or miss for me because sometimes I'm like, yes, this is it. And sometimes I'm just like,
I know. Because okay, I feel like but her last like good album, like album, was Realer. Mm-hmm. Because when I tell you, like, 6 of her tracks off Realer ended up on my top 100. Realer is the one where she has the, like, it's an orange cover. She's, like, mimicking the Blaxploitation films. It has, like, Ratchet and, like, Simon Says and stuff
right,
on it.
Right.
I fucking love that album. I love that album. I remember, like, in high school, I was like, let's get Ratchet. Like, yes! But yeah, so my number 3 on Spotify top songs was Run Your Mouth by The Marías. When we talk about everything that happened. Oh my god, I love that song. I don't really fuck with The Marías' latest album, Submarine, in general, but that was a single off of it that I really enjoyed. Because I've been a Marías girl for a minute now. Like, I saw them at a tiny little venue in St. Louis back in, like, 2018 or something like that. And when they just had their EPs out. That's, like, the one band that I listen to, like, properly. Because I'm not a band girl, like... But the Marías, and I've seen the Marías live a couple times too, but they're awesome. Although I did see something in passing about something about them and like Zionism, which was making me so sad. I'm like, Maria, don't be a Zionist, girl. You're Mexican. I mean, not that that means anything, but still, like, Maria, please. Anyway, what was your 3?
Yeah. My number 3 is 360 by Charlie XCX.
T as fuck. It's funny that 360 was my 6 and your 3. 360,
T. Right, exactly. She's a mastermind like that. I think also part of it is that I listened to just, like, the album so much that inevitably any album that I listen to, start to finish, the top, like, 3 songs or the first 3 songs of that album are always going to be there because... If I'm pressing play, then it's going to get played more than the later songs.
Yeah.
But also a hit.
A hit. A fucking hit.
Very fun.
My number 2 is Red Wine Supernova by Chapel Roan. And if we recall, we were there. We were there for the single. We were there for that single drop. For that music video. Mm-hmm. Like, well, yes. And so this is consistency. Consistency going on here. In your number 2?
My number 2 is Hiss by Megan Thee Stallion. I streamed the fuck out of this song.
Yes. My number 1.
Speaking of Drake, Megan does not get enough of her flowers for starting the Drake hate campaign. And I think it's because, for some reason, Nikki threw her body
is what's crazy.
Literally. It distracted people. Like, Hiss was never meant intentionally to be a Nicki diss song, especially because the line that Nicki interprets as dissing her husband, it's like that literally could be applied to
so
any
many
man really music. But like so many, but like there are like very explicit disses towards Drake in the song that for some
posted like, in another hood like a bad bitch. Who do you think she's talking about there? Let's think about this. Yeah. Like, let's put 2 and 2 together.
The BBL scars? Talking about Drake. Talking about Drake. Yeah.
And my number one, it's so good. My number 1 is Good Luck, Babe. Well, of course. Well, yes. Oh, it's just so good. And your number 1 was... Drum roll.
Espresso. The thing is, it's like that spring to summer transition into the release of that song it was like crack hitting the streets. You know what I mean? It like, has a song ever sounded like late May, early June more
so
than Espresso
true.
By Sabrina Carpenter?
So
like,
true.
I'm not saying, it was like, I was loving it. I was listening. I went to the summer camp and the kids were asking, play Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter. And I was like, you know what? And I will. And I will. In fact. So it was like, and also like, I'm working late because I'm a singer. Like, yeah. Everyone was
up.
Bumping that.
Yeah, bumping
everyone
that, bumping
was
that.
Bumping that. It was like, I'm listening to Espresso. What else should I listen to? 360. What else should I listen to? Kiss. And it's like, it's a little basic. I'm not going to lie. Like, let's look at the material. My top 10 is very cookie cutter this year. Very girl. Been they, them for 4 years, but it's looking very she, her
but
up in here.
It's looking very femme. It's looking very femme.
Yeah. And you know, but this year I was like, it just is what it is. Like, I think almost every single song came out this year except for Wannabe by the Spice Girls, Say It by Maggie Rogers, and I think, like, Rain, my number 10, came out in 2020. So it's like, this is definitely, like, just a very contemporary this year. This yeah. year's pop girls.
Yeah.
Top 10, but at the same time, I was enjoying the cultural production, so to speak,
of
this year. I'm kind of at like a, not a crossroads, but like a moment of transforming, I think, with the music that I listen to, because I think with the genres that I've been very passionate about and the types of artists that I like, I have probably listened to every single artist in these spaces that I could possibly find and listen to and like to their fullest extent almost. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just kind of like left with the realization that like the hits are the hits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then that kind of leads like a basic like music taste that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I like to have a curated sound, but also like I think I've listened to so many like underground artists as well that now when I listen to new indie artists, I'm like, I've heard this, like some
this
like
flop.
Some of them like this I've flop. Listened to too much music. I'm like,
yeah,
I need to step back and try and find new spaces to enjoy music, which is also why I love going to like DJ sets and like live mixings and like supporting DJs, because it breathes new life to songs and sounds that I already like. But I also say like it's music that makes sense like in that context, you know. I'm like, it's hard for me to listen to that like while cleaning or, you know, in other parts of my life. Anyways, I'm just at a very interesting relationship with music. Like, I think I know too many songs.
Yeah.
I've listened to too many songs. I can't, like, I've made so many playlists. I've collected and like, curated in a very specific way so many songs that I now, like, know and am not, like, intimate with. Like I, you know, it's not spiky. Anyways, so I'm just like, what's next? Like, screamo? Like, is that my new field? Like,
oh,
I'm like,
God.
What is there left for me to explore musically? Because that doesn't sound like my taste, but also I'm like, oh,
who knows? Maybe
who
you
knows?
Should tap into, like, well, here's the thing. I've been getting into, like, okay, well,
I feel like your music taste has changed a lot recently.
Yes, I agree. I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, I was so stringent a few years ago about being like, I'm not gonna watch Fleabag, I'm not gonna listen to Fiona Apple, mostly because I was just like, everyone who is so annoying about these things specifically pisses me the fuck off, and I don't want to be like them. But then I did watch Fleabag, and then I did listen to Fiona Apple, and I was like, wait a second, I can kind of understand why people are so annoying about this now.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing about like, you know, moral superiority. It's like, okay, whatever.
Right.
Let me just tap in and see what the fuck is going on. And I think, like, for that reason, like, probably my favorite song ever, it is going to have to go to The First Taste by Fiona Apple. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that song so much. It's been years of me loving this song. Because I think, like, similar to Say It by Maggie Rogers, it talks about, like, desire and longing in this, like, almost mm-hmm. jazzy sort of, like, low-key, downbeat way that I find so compelling, like, sonically. So I think the first taste is, but, like, my music taste has definitely shifted in that I've become more sympathetic to, like, indie rock. Because previously I was very against it. Mm-hmm. But now that I have a gay workplace, I have to listen to a lot of Mitski just to, you know, feed the people. Right. And so, like, yeah. And then, and so, like, I end up, did I get any Mitski on my top 100? Probably not. But, like, I've ended up listening to more Mitski, like, I Bet on Losing Dogs.
Which is crazy, like, because that. I made you a personal yes. playlist to try and get you into Mitski.
Yes, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
No. Well, because he didn't like instruments for many years. And now that's the biggest, like, unlocking that I feel like. Like, regardless of how your music taste develops, I've, like, just noticed that you listen to songs that, like, you can hear that there is a guitar player in them or a drummer, yes. a real human drummer in them.
Yes.
Yes. More so now, which I think is just a huge
development.
Yes.
Right. And you know what
song we're recommending you songs?
Yeah. The song that I've been listening to a lot that was, like, also, that was a girl group from the 90s, Independent Women by Destiny's Child. I was listening to that song a lot. I was listening a lot to the Clairo album also. I mean, like, not the whole album, but, like, Sexy to Someone is a fucking banger. And also, I've still been listening a lot to Preacher's Daughter by Ethel Cain. Because I think, like, one of my other favorite songs of all time is definitely A House in Nebraska by Ethel Cain. Like, oh my god. Also, Sun Bleached Flies by Ethel Cain. Oh my god, so beautiful. Such gorgeous songs. But, oh yeah, I also love Juna. So good. Off the Clara album. But yeah, I've leaned into instruments more lately, and that, oh, but the song that I've gotten into lately that, like, that has kind of, because, you know, that everyone knows if you listen to this that we're not, like, Muna girls, we're not
correct,
like, we're not Muna lesbians at all, but their song One That Got Away has been climbing the ranks, and I just, like, it's like 51 on my Stats FM. And mind you, right. I started listening to this song a few weeks ago. Maybe, not even that, maybe. That song, and, like, it is a type of song where it's, like, okay, I think, like, content-wise, storytelling-wise, it's relevant to my life. And so I'm, like, okay, we gotta stream. And that's why also, like, you remember when I was telling you that, like, well, because I was telling you, oh, we gotta listen to these Lana albums, or these songs, and you're like, oh my god, it's just so sad, it's so sad, like, I can't
right.
do it. I think part of why I mean, Lana wasn't really on this playlist this year, or on my mm-hmm. top 100 list this year, which really, I think, reflects the state of my mental health betterment
yeah.
of this year. There just, like, wasn't, like, Norman fucking Rockwell and shit, like, wasn't really on there for real.
Yeah. I was like, I've tried to listen to that album 3 times, and every time I'm like, I'm entering a depressive episode.
Yes.
As I'm listening to this, and I'll be like, why do I feel so bad? And then I'm like, right, I should.
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, I'm like, I should probably change.
Right, change.
Which is something that, no, like, literally, I don't think I'm, but because we have another mutual friend, Sarah, mm-hmm. friend of the pod, I guess.
Yes.
And, like, she's also another person who, like, when she's sad, likes to listen to sad music to, yeah. like, emphasize the experience of it. Yeah. And I'm just like, listen, I'm sure there's, like, pros and cons to both. Like maybe right. I'm trying to, you know, hashtag Escape the Feeling by Carly Rae Jepsen. Right. Or also Escape the Feeling by Carly Rae Jepsen. Like, I like, if I'm sad, I'm already feeling sad. I don't need someone to make me feel sadder. That's just not my personal tea. I don't experience catharsis from it.
Yes.
Whereas I like things to remind me that, like, life is beautiful and happy. Like, if I'm sad, I'm like, let me find the joy. Which for me is, like,
upbeat or, like, sort of ethereal music. I mean, the thing is like, when I because I'm always saying that my life is a movie, I feel almost like it's a soundtrack to my life in a way.
Right, exactly.
Like, right, where, like, when I'm listening to One That Got Away a lot by Muna during this current lesbian fiasco versus 3 months ago when I was listening to Blue by Kali Uchis a lot during that lesbian fiasco versus, like, me also having clocked in a lot of streams to Sunbleached Flies of these past few days, because really, like, if it's meant to be, then it will be. I forgive it all as it comes back to me. That's the whole outro, just, like, on loop. And it's, like, a 7-minute long song, but, like, truly, it's, like, it's not only cathartic, it's not only cathartic, but it's also, it feels transcendent, I think. Her music, like, Ethel Cain's album, which I don't know, I'm kind of scared to touch her forthcoming project in a similar way that I was kind of scared to touch Charlie's project of Brat, because I liked Crash so much. I mean, I still do, but, like, so I put off listening to Brat for, like, a week or two before I actually did. And I'm, like, afraid that Ethel Cain, it's not that I'm afraid that they're gonna disappoint me. I mean, kind of, but more just, like, I'm like, I have so much love for the Preacher's Daughter album that I'm, like, because it's also very sad, obviously. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where that goes. But that was our year in review for music. It's just a weird year for music overall, I think, for us personally. Yeah. Just, like, strange.
I had one note as well, because you said you're listening to Destiny's Child before we go.
Yeah.
And Beyonce was one of my, like, top 5 artists this year. But it's, like, it's because I'm listening to B-Day. You know what I mean? It's because I'm listening to Dangerously in Love and, like, her, like, early albums and earlier projects. Like pre-Lemonade or even pre-self-titled.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, like, her icon is, like, of the current Cowboy Carter album. Which I'm, like, it's so annoying because, like, I am not streaming Cowboy Carter. And
no fucking way.
Yeah, so it's like, one thing that I also enjoy doing or interests me regarding music, like, something that still interests me, is major artists who have been major artists for a long time going back tapping into their backlog,
their backlist.
It's like
Summer Boy by Lady Gaga. When I tuned you into that last year,
I cannot believe I don't know how that slipped through the cracks, because I love Lady Gaga, and I've obviously listened to so many of her songs. And I'm sure it's, like, I think because I probably listened to it thinking that it's Gwen Stefani, because every time I listen to that song, I think, oh my gosh, this sounds just like Gwen Stefani. And then I'm like, wait, this is Lady Gaga. Yeah. And of course, Gwen Stefani.
Is Gwen Stefani Italian?
I think so. She's from Orange County. That's her ethnic background. She's from Orange County, California.
I was going to say, because Gwen and Lady Gaga, they both got their Italian white woman tea, like, down.
I love Gwen Stefani. Like, in 2000s, Gwen Stefani, like, obviously that is just so coded in nostalgia for me personally. Yes, like,
that's my shit. It is my shit.
Like, like, consciousness arose.
Raised, eyes
my
open.
ears opened and developed in the back seat, in the back of a car with my aunt driving.
I was speaking of backseat, like, Diet Pepsi by Addison Rae. Diet Pepsi.
Let's talk about it, because actually, just like a couple of seconds. On one hand, I'm like, she ate with that. And on the other hand, I'm like, do we need Addison Rae to be, like, a large
pop star.
Yeah. And it's like, no, but if she makes a couple more Diet Pepsis, gets her coin, and then leaves, I'm not gonna be mad about it. And also, I think the music video is good.
So good. When I, y'all, we were at a bar in St. Louis called The Hidden Gem, which is a very femme-coded place, by the way. They're still playing loud-ass music, but I was like, girl, you're gonna tune... I gave her one of my AirPods, or I gave Renaissance one of my AirPods. I put in one of my AirPods, and I took out my phone, and I was like, we're watching this. We watched the Diet Pepsi music video, and Renaissance was gagged. I saw the gaggery happening in real life, in real time.
Well, because also, I think, regardless of Addison Rae and the song, which I like the song. Addison Rae,
white pop star. Take it or leave it.
She's doing her job. Being a pop star is a job, and she's doing it. She's clocked in.
Okay? Right.
But I think the music video is, like, I think interestingly directed. And now,
yes, it's avant-garde in a way.
My relation to, like, watching, like, music videos and shows and movies is so much more director form. Focused than it has been in the past. Like, that's been a change in the past, like, year to 2 years. And I think that's what makes something interesting, but also, like, being able to pair the right artist with the right director to make something, I think, is what makes it interesting.
And that's why the Me music video was a flop.
The which
music
video?
And that's why the Me by Taylor Swift featuring Brendon Urie. Right, exactly.
Taylor Swift music videos?
She has, like, Fortnite? Winning the MTV thing, that was crazy to me. Because what?
She has, like, white woman millennial disease so bad. Such, like, a serious way. Like, it's coming out stronger than ever.
Well, also, I was talking to my coworker about this, and she's, like, 36. She was like, yeah, I have a complicated relationship with Taylor Swift because I grew up with her music and I love her music so much, but she's just a white woman. And she was like, I was really disappointed in her back in 2016 when she didn't say anything about the election. And then the documentary came out and I watched the documentary and I was like, oh, yeah. And then, but now I'm like, now here she is taking her fucking private jets everywhere. And we were talking about this. Oh, my God. Love my coworkers. Something about a working environment. If your coworkers are not gay and awesome, you're going to want to kill yourself because Jesse is experiencing this right now. Our friend is experiencing this right now, and he is suffering immensely. He was texting me. He was like, I just feel, like, so... I need to be around, like, queer people. Like, people who, like, understand me for my gender and what I am. Like, the dysphoria I experience. He was like, I liked being at college when people just treated me like a trans boy. And I'm like, oh, poor baby. Like, poor baby you. But anyways, but... That is today's episode. We were going to talk about a book, but that didn't end up happening because we just ended up yapping about music for so long. But in our next episode, we'll be talking... Let's talk about the Michelle T book, Against Memoir. Yeah. And we can also talk about our reading last year.
Absolutely.
So hope you guys tune in to that. Thank you so much for listening or watching if you're on the Patreon. We heart, j'adore you so much. You're the best. And thank you for being here. Indeed. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.